breakthroughs in knowledge and experience in the 21st century.
Now we're going to begin this afternoon by taking a look at Cleveland. Your high, hot and steamy, and your below average this afternoon and tonight.
Some kind of super intelligence that was able to create this.
From PR News in Washington, I'm passed out and physically exhausted from the ordeal of demanding an apology from the United States for alleged desecration of PR's people that have detonated explosives outside a bank in Pennsylvania today. PR has the reports.
Sir, should never have received.
Authorities in Florida are looking into the 4-year-old boy who refused to deploy with his unit to Iraq for motion sickness bags and PR news.
And now, fought with the terrible weapons of super science, menacing all mankind and every creature on Earth, comes the
Sub-Genius Hour of Slash.
People of Earth, attention. This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet.
No one had a bad trip. It was all very good.
Big sports brands and fashion designers.
A creature that rules the universe.
You must find strength. Behold the secrets of nature's deepest mystery.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant twerps.
He is the creator and sustainer of all the worlds, whether those worlds are known or unknown to mankind.
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Deadly germs are creeping over the earth, killing every human in their path. Gentlemen,
it's impervious to all poisons.
Sucking the hallucinatory acid into the system.
It belongs to a creature from outer space.
And love. Meditation.
300,000 volts of electricity.
Breakdown.
Burst into flame.
Yes, dear friends, that was Lamprey Systems with their new one, Don't Try This at Home. And friends, this hour of slack is so light that I bet you thought we all flew away in the flying saucers, didn't you? Well, the experience actually was kind of like that. And in fact, we're all so shaken by it here that I'm running 2 hours of slack behind. And we have Starwood coming up, and then Cytopia. And in a way, we might as well be on the saucers. Friends, and luckily, we collected lots of recordings from 8X Day, the 8X Day drill. Recordings of Dr. Howell and Dr. Philo Drummond, our special guests. And friends, I've got a lot of recordings from the Radio Synesthesia show that followed 8X Day. And of course, there's a ton of Mr. Fernando Nandy Lemur and Reverend Noel Preff. And in fact, that's what's about to happen right now. Friends, you're listening to the Hour of Slack of the Church of the Sub-Genius.
I'm surprised more people haven't invented their own religions in this country, as our country was founded on, you know, freedom of religion.
Bob, 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 Bob.
I got the hot dog up to my mouth again, and I was ready to bite, and the scream got louder. And it hit me. No, it couldn't be.
Bob, Bob,
and I
Bob,
looked down
Bob.
At the hot dog, and there was a face on him.
Bob, 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 Bob.
Eyes, nose, a mouth. I had put the ketchup to where it looked like his hair.
Bob, Bob,
and he started
Bob,
telling
Bob,
me that I couldn't eat him.
Bob, Bob,
and he had a wife and 7 kids at home to support.
Bob,
and I stood
Bob,
there with his hot dog and asked Terry, do you know this hot dog is talking to me?
Bob, 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 Bob.
And of course, we will have the X-Day report as soon as the right people show up here. Hello, you're on... Ooh. Hello, you are on the air.
Ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy, Rocknar.
Well, let's title this night's show, Repressed X-Day Memories.
Ooh, you know, I'm not sure if I want to dig up those repressed memories, you know. I mean, I might actually remember, you know, some things that I didn't want to. Yeah, those memories are repressed for a reason.
That's true. So this is the season premiere of Synesthesia, is it not?
Well, I guess you could call it that, you know, but I don't really think that the show has seasons.
Well,
the seasons,
if you consider X Day a day of renewal.
Then, in that case, it would certainly be a new season. But just so everybody knows right now, one of the biggest events, of course, is that the church has been burned.
And it has been resurrected as a zombie church by
that
Mary Magdalene.
That is right. And with a little help from the bachelors for Bob.
UFO cult waiting for their ship to come in.
Space Brothers.
On this site, 33 spaceships representing each planet of the Interplanetary Confederation will land one atop the other to form a university that will become the new World Teaching Center for Planet Earth.
But who shall dwell in these worlds if they be inhabited? Are we or they lords of the world? And how are all things made for man? No one would have believed in the last years of the 19th century that this world was being watched keenly and closely by intelligences greater than man's and yet as mortal as his own. That as men busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied, perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. With infinite complacency, men went to and fro over this globe about their little affairs, serene in their assurance of their empire over matter. No one gave a thought to the older worlds of space as sources of human danger. So vain is man, and so blinded by his vanity, that no human up to the very end of the 19th century expressed any idea that intelligent life might have developed beyond its earthly level. Yet across the gulf of space, intellects fast and cool and unsympathetic regarded this earth with envious eyes, and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
I will make you understand.
Isn't he handsome?
It was all in your mind.
Productive.
Release.
Shut up and sit down.
Bob.
And we're going to take to the phones now. It's 687-3515. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Dr. Sinister.
Ahoy, Stang. Did you have a good X Day?
Oh, great.
It was.
I don't know what Bob did to us this time, but
I actually feel great.
Bob allowed us to do to ourselves, though.
I felt better when I got home than when I left, so maybe I did get a new body, and maybe this is my escape vessel, and I was just too fixated on reality to come up with anything different than
You hardened it by drinking that Fighting Cock whiskey that I brought. You toughened it. You got it ready for the new year.
Was that before or after the saucers
came?
That
was before. That was...
yeah, you were slamming
that
stuff.
That was like Saturday night.
Damn.
You were pounding that stuff down.
I only saw him drink. I saw him hit it once and make a face, actually.
I wasn't there
and
Saturday
was
night. Are you guys crazy?
You were there. It was
I
a Doc Frost.
I went to the motel, so we went out to see War of the Worlds Saturday night. We were in a motel. That was somebody else
about
that
the Saturday
looked
night
like me, man.
Day.
You guys are nuts. You're crazy.
Yeah.
Apparently, Bob came and did something with all of us.
Look into the sex life of robots. Since the dawn of the human species, man has wrestled with the dark side of human nature, the Prince of Lies.
I love evil, and I love evil actions.
Cults are much stronger than people realize. Sex orgies,
prostitution, dope, or any of these things. We just worship Satan in a nice, peaceful manner. The satanic cults are famous for subliminal messages. This would include, say, music at a roller rink.
Now for you right now, the latest from Britney Spears. This is Stronger.
Blue-eyed blonde hair will sell for $50,000.
It's time to loosen things up and do the hokey pokey.
I am a stripper. I'm also a stripper.
Many people are attracted to pornography, sex, and so forth. It's sheer joy and pleasure.
Porn. I think that would be quite attractive to the public.
These are the more beautiful women who have been used in the past and are being used today through the mind control program that's practiced by the CIA, designed to make human robots out of these individuals.
Stupid. I slapped him in the face with a cartoon.
This could be a subliminal message.
Norel Pref at 8X Day. Friends, you can download or read more Norel Pref at heavyconfetti.com. Friends, and special thanks we have to give out to Governor Rocknar for spearheading the Dr. Howell to X Day effort, and also for throwing himself on that bomb to save the rest of us. It's a good thing it was a Discordian bomb. Anyway, friends, let's get back to Dr. Howell and yours truly, Reverend Ivan Stang, possibly with Dr. Philo Drummond, on stage at 8X Day at Brushwood, minutes before the end of the world.
The final hour approaches, my friend. Could Nostradamus have been right when he predicted the end of the world, July 5th, 1998? Actually, Nostradamus predicted it July 5th, 1999. Bob corrected that note, using some Edgar Casey hints, actually.
Well, it couldn't be an even number, so it would have to be an odd number. And when you go into the numerology, you have to go through a certain checklist and... Nostradamus lived in a stone tower with no plumbing. He often made mistakes.
And I, too, live in a wooden garret with no plumbing.
But there you perform your secret scientific experiments, investigating into the very heart of life.
Life itself! We can discover the secret of life, peering, good and evil!
Peeking through the veil which hides the round and blushing charms of nature, and then ripping that veil asunder and plunging forward into true understanding and enlightenment until it bursts over the brain and seems to seize it with a great awakening light. And then profitable things like the Book of the Subgenius and other strange monsters may be born.
Monsters, yes, monsters! Did you ever think that maybe to them, why, maybe we're the monsters?
Yeah, ever think of that? Maybe them, you're the monster, huh? How about that? Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
How many times have we said that just this very weekend? Just
you
to remind
can't
you, friends,
say it often enough.
You cannot! To them, maybe we're the monsters. In fact, to them, maybe we are the cockroaches.
You know, it's necessary to keep repeating this depressing litany because one has what one calls a positive self-image, which automatically reasserts itself. Just as when you hit a bouncing, round-based Cupid doll, it always wants to return to the vertical. So does the positive self-image, displacing any fleeting and vague imago of a monster that your accurate thought might have placed there. It's not a good thing to be forced continually to confront one's monstrous self. And paradoxically, a good way to avoid it is simply to consider it every now and then. And Pastor Stang and I are just helping you with this simple intellectual exercise.
Every now and then, you have to go ahead and drink Dr. Jekyll's potion, come to grips with it, and then leave it alone. Maybe once a year.
You leave it alone, but the thing about that particular potion is that you have flashbacks. It comes back.
Well, yeah. That's why I said once a year. You don't want to end up kicking children too often.
The exhilaration of it all. The headlong rush through the strange corridors of the body.
Friends, you don't know what slack might really mean. Are you going to go into that dark hallway with faith? Perhaps you may find that slack for you was something you previously found to be repugnant, even illegal.
It could be simple, you don't know.
You may find that it's something embarrassingly silly, like bird watching.
Sometimes the best way to go forward is to go backward a little bit. If you get your pants caught on the fence, you can't go forward. You have to back up a little bit. Then you can go forward. The way forward is not a straight line. It's a wriggling sinusoidal curve, and you must twist yourself adroitly to reach the glowing end of the tube.
It's like crawling through the tunnels of your own brain, boring your way through, digging with your teeth.
Because
through the little curling tubes of your brain, trying
tissue,
to reach the inside.
Not going to be important in the long run.
No, you don't need those.
You can jettison these sad memories, these bad archetypes, these tropes.
Bad facts.
These engrams, these falsely learned syllogisms. And then you construct in its place a shining crystalline edifice. One which might not be able to exist on this muddy, old, stinky, organic earth, but in the crystal clarity of space, resonate like a cathedral of glimmering shards.
What about Bob?
I give it the torch right in the eye.
Bob!
Reverend Howe.
And Dr. Howe may stand here with the sun spotlighting half of his face.
He was a reverend before he was a doctor.
Perfect photographic setup.
Ladies and gentlemen, after I finish, Reverend Alex, I'm reliably informed, is up next. And so, given this moment to speak, I might say it is a good excuse, now that you hear my voice, to start making your way elsewhere to a more comfortable place, because you will hear the sounds of my syllables echoing after you until you reach safe distance. Until then, I intend to verbalize and soliloquize, because a subscription, as you have heard, was made so that I could come out here and be among you here this X day. I cannot begin to express the harmonious feeling which I underwent when I heard this news. It started as a sort of a warmth in the solar plexus and then rose through my torso, expanding to fill the thorax and finally shooting up little flames of contentment toward my cerebrum. And I think on certain special occasions we all feel that, or something similar, I realized that in this one area I was deemed somehow necessary, or less unnecessary than usual. Now, next year I may be able to pay the freight myself, since my rhyming dinosaur book will be published, I assume. And also, I'm writing a play, which I'm told will make my fortune. And there's a pair of glasses here. I wonder if they are a lost pair of glasses for which extravagant promises were made. Well, be that as it may, there are so many examples of intricate points of subgenius doctrine which need to be hammered into people's heads over and over again. The purpose of understanding, the purpose of total immersion in the subgenius worldview. This is done by incremental repetition, tedious and exhaustive, just like the locusts that carried away the grains of wheat in Pharaoh's storehouse. It didn't happen all at once, but incrementally, through tiny changes. And so it must be, as my jaw moves up and down and tongue flaps back and forth. These syllables, like the fragments of food which, according to legend, fed the prophets, brought by birds out of the sun, will ideally spread over the campsite and then, falling to earth, manure the ground so that in this rich garden, the garden of subgenius thought may grow. Now, many people probably ask you, when they hear about what your religion is, when you are injudicious enough to say what it is, well, what does that mean? That means you're stupid, right? And, of course, it doesn't mean that you're not stupid, since it doesn't have anything to do with genius as is commonly understood. But I always maintained that this word genius was like the word, was the same word as genie. That would be the plural, actually, referring to those strange spirits of the air one encounters in Arabic mythology, the jinn. They came out of Aladdin's lamp, or another one came out of a ring. Or going into Greco-Roman mythology, there were the spirits of place, the genius Loki. I'm sure that Brushwood Campground has them. You can certainly intuit their presence hovering near the frog pond as you go there at night. Well, there are such spirits. And I will go farther and say that it is an absolutely essential nugget of belief that each person have such a spirit. Not as vulgarly supposed a guardian angel or some namby-pamby goody-goody-goo-goo hovering just outside of one's threshold of understanding, but the result of one's own intellectual and physical activity in this world. One generates such a spirit, and then that spirit hovers and assists. And one should be under the direction of this tutelary body, and not the false spirit of the conspiracy. We don't seem to talk about the conspiracy enough, and that's probably because we hate it so much and hate being entangled in its tentacular coils. But it's a reality that many of us do have to face when we leave Brushwood and its environs and return to what some are pleased to call the world. Only the highest order of subgenius succeeds in renouncing these shackles entirely and achieving the exalted title or condition of being an art bum, one who diddles around with things artistical and rarely has to work by the sweat of his brow. All these people will tell you, and I will even say on certain occasions, when vexed with the limited understanding that others seem to possess, that it's just as hard as digging post holes in the hot sun while the sweat runs down and millions of blood-sucking nightflies bite your perspiring limbs. And that would be a lie, because that stuff's hard. But being an art bum is the path of slack. And that is why we are all trying to get there one way or the other. But to try too hard, of course, is to shed more slack, is to leave a greasy trail of spots of shed slack which are fruitlessly cast aside and not used in the metabolic dynamic engine of construction which drives the true subgenius forward. So one should marshal one's grease spots and not bestow them on the path that one treads, and marshal them proudly. What is distasteful to someone else may be the true, true subgenius significator. And we have learned to experience a number of unshapely, odd, even creepy philosophies, as well as body types here. And this shows our largesse and our larger understanding, part of our journey of exploration and discovery. So, all I could do to add to this would be to go on explicating already overly familiar portions, nano bits of subgenius doctrine. I think rather than the scholastic approach, we're all here more or less to relax, settle back, and enjoy our feature presentation. To have a good time rather than a good read or a good study. For there is always time to absorb subgenius doctrine. I recommend for this time the downtime, the time in between regular activities. We write in our books of extra meditation. This is, after all, a private time. While the body does its thing, the brain may race ahead, constructing fantastic traceries of airy castles of creation and imagination. There is no reason to be chained to the physical body simply because one must pay the rent while one is in it. And that being just one of many examples, I will let that drop here.
Only our own warm earth, so cold that molten lead lies frozen on its surface. But from the blackness of outer space, we were being frozen. But thousands of pounds of dust lies close to Uranus. But only our own warm earth is green with methane gas, eloquent of fertility, and possessed a cloudy atmosphere flaming at the tops. But only our own warm earth. For centuries it has been in the last stages of Uranus, even at its equator. But Uranus.
I say this calls for action, and now, nip it in the
butt.
How was the $200 million War of the Worlds compared to the $2,000 War of the Worlds?
Well, oddly enough, even though the El Cheapo War of the Worlds, which came out just before Spielberg's version, is exactly, painfully faithful to the book, the Spielberg version is better because the book is good. And the Spielberg version is good. And the the El Cheapo version that's exactly faithful line for line to the book is one of the worst shot movies I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, it's like Ed Wood or Larry Buchanan film in a way. It's that bad, but in a modern desktop special effects way.
So it's not a period piece?
It is.
It is? Was playing at the theater?
No, there are two War of the Worlds that came out at the same time. The Spielberg one, which takes place now, and doesn't actually mention Martians, doesn't say anything about Mars, and one that was made really low budget, that is a period piece set in 1898 when the novel was written by H.G. Wells, and it's so low budget they really couldn't pull it off, and yet they did anyway. So it's like a Bulldotta masterpiece of bad film.
Mm.
The guy that pulled it off is simply an ordinary, really well-made film.
Would you say it's actually a good film, or is it by well-made? You mean like it's just like typical Hollywood fare?
Well, it's typical Hollywood fare, but I'm an H.G. Wells fanatic, and I was very pleased because I felt that it captured the essence of the book, and they even managed to work in the main rants from the War of the Worlds. There are some great rants about what little rabbits the people of the world are, and how most of them are just scurrying about their little jobs, afraid of the boss and afraid of God on Sundays, and it won't be that big of a change for them under the Martians, you know.
I believe they've built a flying machine.
Flying machine?
Yes.
If they have that, it's all over with humanity.
It is over with humanity. We're down. We're beat. This isn't a war. It never was a war. Any more than there's war between man and ants. That's all we are now. Just ants. Only.
Yes.
We're eatable ants. At present, they catch us when they want us. They won't keep on doing that. They'll begin catching us. Systematic. Picking the best and storing us into cages. Lord, they haven't begun on us yet.
Not begun.
Saw people that lived in these houses, running wild for their little season ticket train for fear they'd get dismissed if they didn't. And on Sundays for fear of the year after. As if hell was built for rabbits. Very likely these Martians will make pets of some of them. Train them to do tricks, who knows? And some, maybe. They were trained to hunt us. If they come after me, Lord, if they come after me. We've got to learn while we've got a chance. And we've got to live and keep independent while we learn. I've been thinking about the drains. The main drains are big enough and airy enough for anyone. And the railway tunnels and subways. Eh? You begin to see? and we form a band. Able-bodied, clean-minded men. Able-bodied, clean-minded women we want also. Mothers and teachers. Imagine this. 4 or 5 of their fighting machines suddenly startling off. And not a Martian in them. Not a Martian in them, but men. Swish! They ain't right. And behold, man has come back to his own.
It was then I had my first inkling of the gulf between the artilleryman's dreams and his powers.
It's there's some great subgenius rants. Of course, the sad thing is, at the end, the humans live and the monsters die. That's always sad for us subgeniuses. Yep. But the whole idea behind these blockbuster end-of-the-world Martian invasion movies every summer is to discredit J.R. Bob Dobbs and to give people the idea that, oh, aliens are just monsters in spaceships. They're not gods that can completely smash you and don't get colds. You know, because it's sad. The aliens die of the common cold, you know, at the end of the... Well, I don't want to ruin the movie.
Well, I think that's old news by now.
Yeah, it was based on that radio show, right, which was based on that war... which was based on that novel.
Right.
There really was a War of the Worlds just before World War I, but...
That was covered up.
That was covered up, like the switch with Mars.
Right.
So it really gets pretty complicated.
It is enough to make a man's head spin, and yeah. Let me tell you, I'm doing about 78 RPM right now.
And they're overturned war machines. Some of the now rigid handling machines, and a dozen of them stark and silent and laid in a row, were the Martians, dead, slain by the putrefactive and diseased bacteria against which their systems were unprepared, slain as the red weed was being slain, slain after all man's devices had failed by the humblest things that God, in his wisdom, has put upon this earth.
Friends, you may have noticed that the church tends to not be all that hard sell. That's because we're in this for the long run. We don't want to be Wilhelm Wright. We don't want to be... look what happened to all of our predecessors, my friends.
Well, we don't want everybody anyway. Only
but they
elect.
They can't all be saved.
They can't, and it is not good that they should. We only need the individual holotypes of each particular subgenius mutation. Let's look at it from the standpoint of vertebrate paleontology.
There
we go. That always straightens out things. Now you may be aware of one of the most famous of the giant dinosaurs, one of the last that perished from the Earth, was the Triceratops. And in the museums there are many different heads of many different species, because those big skulls are hard to destroy and they survive the lengthy process of fossilization. So there's one with a twist here and a hornlet there, one called Triceratops prorsus, one called Triceratops horridus, one called the Triceratops ajax, and so forth, Triceratops trionicles. But, you know, soon they started arguing, well, maybe these aren't different species. Maybe everyone was different. Maybe everyone was an individual mutation. And it had these strange horns and spines to fight with other dinosaurs in gigantic battles? No, to look good to the opposite sex.
That's what it's all
because
about, maybe.
These dino horns and plates and things were cool, and if you had more of them, you were more likely to mate with another dinosaur. They had no actual function. You wouldn't want to fight with them. They might break off, then you wouldn't look good. So, at any rate, each Triceratop, once considered a different species, is now recognized as the same species, not because the difference is not known, but because speciation went on in such a subtle way that it's inconvenient to list every different goddamn species. And science tries to make everything nice and easy and clear for future generations. Well, of course, we know there aren't going to be any of those. But it is essential for us, in contemplating ourselves, to understand that each one of us is essentially the holotype of a different subgenius species. And as we move on into the transition to the unknowable future, it is up to us to push our own genetic template out there, because it has value to survive, to infiltrate the cosmos, and to make every face spiritually the grinning face of J.R. Bob Dobbs.
That's right, friends. Your job is not only to get Slack, but to make sure that Slack survives, to keep the subgenius genotype going. That means sooner or later, you must reproduce and make more little subgeni. I know,
and
most
sub-geniets.
Of you are going, I'm not going to bring a kid into this horrible world. Well, this is, actually, we've only got a few hours left to have those future generations, I suppose. But given, you know, pretend that we...
You know, on the saucers, in relativistic time, they can grow up the kids in tubes anyway. It's not to worry.
Well, it's
you've
just
seen
that
those
I hear so many of my subgenius friends saying, oh, I'm not going to bring a kid into this pink world, and plus, I'd be a terrible parent, and so forth and so on. We don't care! I don't care if that kid grows up to be a serial killer. If it has the Yeti gene, that's all that counts. And if it then reproduces and creates more little serial killing half Yeti, half human, half breeds, that's fine. Sooner or later it'll all work out. Of course, on the escape vessels we won't have to worry about species mixing.
From PR News in Washington, I'm still recovering from Ivan, but fans are looking forward to an interesting rematch.
Pornography, yes.
The National Hockey League could reach land later today, the BBC reports.
Insert attacks, the police brigades, the units led by experience. Officials say tough tactics have proved force throughout infiltration.
Also today, a suicide bomber in a police uniform blew himself up at the heavily guarded headquarters of a feared PR News in Washington.
You know, I'd like to ask a question of you, Ivan, because this is something I'm unclear about. Is there a chance that on the space vessels themselves, we, the fortunate few, might encounter, in addition to exists, the Yetinsen in some form?
The original Yeti?
Well, there's been a rumor or a legend or whatever you want to call it. I'm not exactly certain of its provenance, that the titular guardian Yetis themselves might be on the saucers.
Well,
or a few guides, guardians.
Well, Dr. Howell, you know, it's been 80 million years since most of the original Yeti left the planet following their failed experiment when the humans escaped from the so-called the test tube, so to speak.
You know, many of them were in the latter day slain by the evil, barbaric Yehu humans. And the more gentle and higher savants of the Yetinsen withdrew even further into their remote fastness, unwilling to release their deadly actinic fires that they could so easily control on a thing which seemed shaped like them. But what about Gigantopithecus and its enigmatic lower jaw that you were telling me about?
Yes, friends. As a matter of fact, in the Cleveland Natural History Museum, there is on display the jawbone of a Yeti. Now, talk about offensive. That'd be like walking an American Indian walking into a museum and seeing his grandfather stuffed.
Which they used to have. I mean, at the University of Arizona, they had an Indian mummy. But when I went back there to see it recently, they said, oh, we never had no mummy. No. Don't have a mummy. You never saw an Indian in there. No. But I know what I saw. A mummy, withered and horrible, in complete Indian regalia, too. Yeah, that one.
not the same as
so,
the...
And the Gigantopithecus skull in the museum is a similar outrage, and yet, once one puts aside one's understandable natural repugnance, loathing, and horror, one can see that science might need to show off this massive Yeti jaw against a similar but much smaller jaw of an adult male gorilla, and even the sadly etiolated weak little jawbone of a human.
That's right, and the Yeti jawbone would indicate an animal 9 feet tall and probably pretty fat. and with a really a profoundly developed ability to kiss and make out.
With those big slobbery lips it had.
Yeah, huge.
You know, the German scientist Franz Weidenreich said in his epochal work, Apes, Giants, and Man, that this beast, this creature, Gigantopithecus, is actually misnamed and shouldn't be given the name Gigantopithecus or Giant Ape. It should instead be called Giganthropus or Giant Man, because there are certain man-like homologies in the strange bones of this enormous anthropoid, particularly the structure of the teeth. And if you want to know what something really is and you're a scientist, well, you look at the teeth. The teeth are an indicator. You might remember that when Gulliver came back from Brobdingnag, the teeth that he had collected of the giants were one of the most convincing proofs that he had to offer.
Friends, at 7:15 tomorrow morning, you can fuck a full-grown yeti if you so desire. Or, for that matter, you could bring into existence a Homo forensiensis, the newly discovered little hobbit people. You can even set up a three-way.
Because
think of that, with you in the sandwich.
That movie, Revenge of the Sith, was mentioned, and it shows their ludicrous gynecological techniques where robots with huge scoops for hands deliver tiny wriggling babies. Compared to this primitive level of medical development, what you'll find on the saucers are an unbelievable series of skills of genetic manipulation. You can give birth to any kind of offspring you want.
Boys.
They can do it. The age of being tied to the earth and its organic winds and ways shall be over, and you can be not only the architect of your own destiny, but that of your entire posterity. Normally, too great an honor, too dangerous a power to wield, but to we, who are as gods, not so. For we need not stop at traffic lights anymore after X day. Oh, who are we to obey society's laws and morals? Ours is a high and lonely destiny, and no more financial humiliation will be in the cards.
Friends, one of the dangers of X day is that your mind won't be able to accept all the things that you can do, and that you'll end up just using the powers of the Exus and the Mom computers to simply recreate the world that you're familiar with, just because you can't really imagine anything better.
It takes
time.
You
think you can, but you can't really, and therefore you may end up, your escape vessel might somehow resemble your seedy apartment back home.
Or
simply
even
because you can't.
Your bathroom.
Yeah, you may be on the escape vessels speeding towards Planet X, and it looks like driving down I-90 back to Cleveland. That's why, Dr. Drummond, would you
Dr. Drummond needs to come here and do show. It's time to hie him into the circle. The seance is not complete without his etheric energy.
Feels, bop, feel me, bop,
frop, frop, zippy, frop, frop.
I'll have to admit it. For a lot of people, the church is right where it belongs. Here lies the church. That's what some people think about the church. In the school, a conference room, high-rise apartments, camping trailer, exclusive restaurants, racy sports cars, discotheques, topless bars, even the living room. Why is that anyway? Of course, some people say the church fits everywhere. Gotta be more specific.
Bob
fits everywhere in life. And they say that when he fits, he makes a difference in what you do, how you do it, where you do it, and why. They say he doesn't squeeze the life out of you, he pumps it into you, you know? They say he opens the lid on life, love, the kind that cares for other people. They say he opens your eyes to beauty, flowers, people, you and
Bob.
Drugs needed.
You know, speaking of neighbors, I had a really, you know, they were, you gotta kind of love and hate your neighbors at the same time. They were playing this music, this loud thumping music. It's shaking my house all to hell. So what I do is I aim my computer speakers out, and I put in my CD player, the amino acids, destroy the warming sun. I hit them back with the amino acids.
That'll hit
them
back with a pretty heavy weapon.
Turn their music off.
I've had people do that to me, too. I use some, like, death metal, actually, is what I use to shut the neighbors up if they're too loud. Because, you know,
I have a synthesizer. I can fix them good.
Yeah. You know, what can you... Man, you can do all kinds of stuff with a good synthesizer. You can...
Yeah, you can pick your frequencies and basically drive them nuts.
You can shatter their windows, probably, if you have a good speaker.
Well, best of all is to not have any neighbors.
What's that?
Best of all is to not have any neighbors.
Yeah, but that's...
When the Martians come, I'm going to join up with them and become a human hunter. I'll be a good pet for the Martians.
Yep.
I want to shut the neighbors up. Get rid of all of them.
Bob? 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 Bob?
Yeah, go ahead and make fun of God. He's probably not listening. There probably isn't even a God. That's what that guy said in that Jack Chick comic.
And then
look where he ended up.
He found out when he was arrayed in front of the entire universe, naked in front of the huge throne with the towering 500-foot faceless angry Jesus and a giant video screen on whose glimmering surface every embarrassing incident of your entire life is played out so that everyone in the universe can see it. And finally, off to stage left, a suspicious-looking hole, square like a garage door, out of which a certain streamer of smoke coils and is ascending upward. You know, the sad thing about this whole chick setup is that everyone who goes to that judgment scene is guilty. If you're all right with Jesus or whatever, I'm not certain of all the doctrinal ramifications, but if you do all that you're supposed to do, you're not even going to be there. You might be able to watch it on your companion telescreen in heaven, but the Great White Throne Judgment, as it is called, is only for the guilty.
But only 144,000 shall be saved, my friends.
But we know this is a distorted version of the actual apocalypse to which we have the true key and knowledge, as revealed in the original pre-scriptures, published now, lo, these many years in the Book of the Subgenius. Pretty good, huh, how the pre-scriptures have proven so true?
Amazing, yeah. You know, if you study, well, of course, if you study any prophetic thing like the Bible, you can find hints, the things that could be stretched to appear to represent events happening in current times. But with the Subgenius, prophecies are right exactly on the money, all the way up dateline. Well, maybe not dateline for dominance, but the prescriptures, although they may be a little vague in some areas, leave a little bit of room for interpretation.
Well, they have a certain poetic flexion, a certain rubbery theological flexibility. But Satan, too, can quote the scriptures. However, Nigi cannot quote the pre-scriptures because they're just too confusing and complicated for its senescent, degenerate brain. That's just common Subgenius doctrine, friends. Nothing special is being said there. We're just regurgitating those
Subgenius... Nothing special except that you uttered his name.
...truisms. Well, we do that because we are speaking to an audience of the elect, not the primitives who are hag-ridden by credulity, superstition, and fanaticism, but the true enlightened ones. Therefore, we can even say that terrible name. And you can dress up as him and his wife at the deity ball. But the point is that we're free here, free to bandy about the most offensive concepts. We had Nazis on our stage belching forth hatred, and we've had terrible fights in our midst with radios being smashed, crockery fractured, and tears and departures of indignant subgenii and subgeniettes in a huff.
That proves it's a real religion.
As the fatal hour grows closer, so mount the tensions, until finally, like a boil giving way to erupt in purulent matter, the tensions will resolve themselves one way or the other. That's why we need that big, hygienic, gleaming saucer to come down and save us from our human predicament, since this is the final hour.
I could be talking to a beautiful live girl instead of you guys.
You could be, yeah, you could.
Yeah, where is we?
She's doing princessly stuff. You know what princesses do? They just sit around looking beautiful, and everybody looks at them and goes, oh. That's what she's doing, probably.
Yeah. It's kind of like that Last Supper we had at the Corral.
No matter how many times they try to corral those subgeniuses, though, they can't train them. They stay wild. You can't break them. Look at some of the ones that, you know, the humans call them drunks, ne'er-do-wells, stumbling, nattering nabobs. But in the Church of the Subgenius, they get special double credits and awards for that.
You get to be Pope, Cardinal, Bishop, and Altar Boy all at the same
time. Actually, I have noticed that the subgeniuses that take the most important sounding titles, like Pope,
are some of the most humble people you'd ever meet, actually, in some cases. Not really, but
no,
there's no such thing as a really humble subgenius.
It's the other way around. They tend to be insane egomaniacs.
Yep.
Like Sex Mortis, Poker.
Well, pretty much all the subgenius popes that I know of.
Yeah.
And then there's the ones, who are the most incredibly productive. You often have humble names, like Mr. Fernanda Nandy Lemur.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only subgenius who's not a pope or a general or a reverend. He's just Mr. And yet that guy does more audio and visual stuff than any other subgenius to speak of.
He does those PR news segments.
Yeah, and massive amounts of graphics. So what I'm saying is these people are all completely insane.
Yes, isn't that the point?
We can not only cause the insanity, my friend, we can sell you the cure.
That's a wonderful thing. Actually, I saw this wonderful thing once that was describing an account of this boy who, at the age of 4, he stopped growing. And numerous tests eventually revealed that he had celiac disease, and then they put him on a gluten-free diet, and he's fine now. He's back to normal, and they say we give God the glory for his recovery, and so do we also give God the glory for him having that genetic disease in the first place,
or God the glory for inventing gluten?
Well,
yeah, seriously, that's like giving an arsonist. Yeah, that's like having a firefighter / arsonist, you know?
No, you can say that God did both of those things as long as you remind people that the Lord works in mysterious ways.
Right.
We can't know why he tortures us, but it's probably for our own good.
That's the faith part.
We know for sure that he tortures us, but we have faith that it must be for our own good.
Yeah.
I guess that's how it works.
Well, or somebody is good.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be your good. It might be somebody 1,000 miles away is good.
It all works out in the end, whether you like it or not.
They all end up on their heads, one and all, from the presidents down to the shoeshine boys.
Mm.
Every single one ends up the same, except for Bob.
That's right. Bob is the exception to the rule and the rule to the exception.
He's always there and he's always missing.
He is the sine qua non of ipso facto and whatnot.
And he always has a really cool tie.
He's a very well-dressed man.
He can be kind of a difficult, short-duration personal savior. I noticed with chagrin this year that at 7 a.m. I was having to get ready for work.
Maybe that's why the saucers passed you, because you were getting ready for work.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I didn't start getting ready for work until the appointed moment had passed. No, I wouldn't want to do that.
Right, but if the 7 a.m. passes, it's kind of like, well, damn.
Yeah, I mean, you turn on the morning news and you notice that nothing's burning or being zapped or anything, you know that things are...
Well, but, right. It starts being disappointing for me the day before. Because we all know it starts at the international dateline at 7 a.m. Well, that's in the middle of the previous afternoon for people in the U.S. So we would see disasters coming on television across Australia and China and Russia and so forth.
Unless
you'd see, you'd
well,
see
here's the
reports,
thing, though,
you'd see one station after another go off the air, basically.
That's what we hope for.
As they came closer and closer to you, and finally...
But here's the thing, though. Whenever it happens, and wherever it happens, that's what's going to define 7 a.m. July 5th. So wherever it happens, all right, that means
we'll
it's actually 7 a.m. there.
Really is, yeah.
Yeah. We don't know what time it is either if we don't know what year
it is. We can reset our calendars.
That's right.
We may be horrified to find that it's several thousand years off, that we were kept on ice on some other planet for a whole long stretch of time that we don't even know about. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, the switch to Earth powers probably took some unspecified amount of time in hibernation or stasis or suspended animation or whatnot.
We can only speculate. And again, the Lord and the aliens work in mysterious ways. You can't, if we could understand them, well, we'd be gods ourselves. Oh, of course, that's what the New Age will tell you. Oh, you're just as cool as Bob. What obvious claptrap. What superstitious nonsense.
Is there room in the same universe for two probabilistic distortions, kind of like Bob? I mean, what would happen if they came together? Which direction would the telephone pole fall? You know,
right? We don't know.
There might be a Bob singularity theory.
See, well, Bob in alternate
universe. It's like is there predestination?
Bob. Yeah.
And can we escape it all through the quantum foam, like in some stupid hot sci-fi novel?
I don't know. You know, with that thought, actually, I think it's time to move on for the evening.
Yeah, my tape's about to run out, and so
all right, gentlemen.
My battery. My...
Goodbye to you, sir.
So we nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you.
My bladder's about to run out, man.
Just being like an X-Day almost.
Yep.
All right, well, we'll talk to you next week.
All righty.
See
you around. And that was the official X-Day report. You heard it here first. We're going to take a little break right now and service the public with these public service announcements.
Good evening, my fellow Americans.
Big Heil!
Ear infections are a common problem for kids.
Wild animals like squirrels, pigeons, or skunks may have moved in to raise their young.
Gross! You have roaches.
Fernandinande Lemur did it. And most of what we've been hearing is off of radio synesthesia, which is comes out of WCSB at Cleveland State University. And with Dr. Sinister, also a lot of Dr. Howell at X-Day. In fact, this is the Dr. Howell at X-Day special. The Bob Haha cut earlier is by Pocus Lilith. Friends, you're listening to the Subgenius Radio Ministry Hour of Slack. You can get more information at subgenius.com or by writing to our offices here in Cleveland Heights. Subgenius or Hour of Slack or Reverend Ivan Stang at Box 181-417. That's P.O. Box 181-417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio, 44118. Praise Bob.
Cleveland?
Yeah, Cleveland. How about Cleveland?
Cleveland? Okay. Cleveland
has been canceled until further notice.
Sure. It's a nice town.
Yeah, but...
Martians had no resistance to the bacteria in our atmosphere to which we have long since become immune. Once they had breathed our air, germs which no longer affect us began to kill them. The end came swiftly. All over the world, their machines began to stop and fall. After all that men could do had failed, the Martians were destroyed and humanity was saved by the littlest things which God in his wisdom had put upon this earth.
Apparently, Bob came and did something with all of us.